Talking about this and other big election stories on the road to 2023. Let me bring you our big hard facts. It's exactly 242 days until the general elections on February 25th, 2023. And with the elections 35 weeks away, we've had some very interesting events in the last few days. So let's talk about the PDP threatening Obasanjo for shading Atiku. And let's talk about APC insisting that Umahi is their candidate. Let's also talk about Tinubu going to France. But first of all, let's talk about voter registration. Over the weekend, INEC Chairman Mahmood Yakubu said voter registration will be extended, but he did not say by how long. And you know that the deadline is currently June 30th, 2 days from now. But Yakubu said INEC has seen the high turnout and enthusiasm in the past few weeks, and they've heard the calls to extend the time, and they're going to do it. But I mean, if you are going to extend the deadline, surely you should have announced the new date by now, right? It's like 2 days to the deadline. Two. By the way, Yakubu also addressed the reports that some PVCs of people who are registering right now may not be ready until January. He gave a different timeline. He said October, that those who are registering right now, the PVCs will be ready in October. But back to registration. We have had a lot of debate about whether or not people are in the wrong for showing up close to the deadline. Some of you said this is typical Nigerian anyhowness. Others say, oh, it's INEC's fault for not making registration more convenient, especially for those who work during business hours. But what I want to do is step away from that argument and take a wider view. So work with me here. Let me ask this question. Should there be a voter registration deadline at all? And if so, should it have been so far away from the elections? Remember that elections are 240 days away from this Thursday. So the deadline is 240 days from election. Now compare that to, say, the UK. Last year, they held local government elections in May. The deadline for registration, you know, if you wanted to vote in that election, was in April, 1 month before the election. I remember my friend Anna Cunningham, she's a journalist living in the UK, was taunting me on WhatsApp. She was doing like videos of herself going to go and vote with her umbrella. She's like, oop, I'm going now to go cast my vote. I don't even need a card. I just need to give them my number. Oop, I'm done voting. It's over now. Oop, I'll know the results by this evening. And I was just fuming on WhatsApp when she was like sending me like video after video after video. Or you can even look at the United States. Each state sets its own voter registration deadline in the US. So some states have 30 days, some states have 15 days, some states have same day registration, so you can register to vote on election day. Now, of course, some of you will say, Nigeria has peculiar problems, which is why INEC needs more daylight between voter registration ending and election holding. So, for example, INEC usually displays the voter register in public to make sure that all the parties can consult the register, confirm that it's not fraudulent. But if you think about that, how much time is really needed to display the register? How much time, really, if you think about it? The other major reasons that INEC says they need to end registration early are to have enough time to clean the register, then enough time to print PVCs. So I want to look at those things one by one. First of all, this cleaning business. The idea here is INEC needs to compare your registration record against all other registration records to make sure nobody is trying to register twice. Before this CVR exercise, INEC had 84 million registered voters. 84 million. Now, let's say that 15 million new registrations happened during this CVR. That would give us about 100 million records. So that's 15 million times 100 million comparisons. That's 1.5 quadrillion comparisons. But remember, each record is made up of 10 fingers. So it's possible that INEC is doing a full 10 to 10 comparison. So each comparison is 10 fingers compared to 10 compared against 10 fingers. That's 100. So raise that number to 150 quadrillion. Now, it sounds like a lot of comparisons, and it sounds like it would take INEC's computers a long time to do that. But INEC uses fairly cutting-edge comparison software, the same stuff that is used by the FBI, but it's just older generation. Now, the 2016 models can run between 380 million and 700 million comparisons per second. I know this because I checked. So let's even go low. Let's say 400 million matches per second. That means that INEC needs 37 million seconds to run those new matches. That's over 10,000 hours. That's 428 days. But if INEC can run those comparisons simultaneously, they can cut down that time. So let's say that INEC is running 10 comparisons at a time. That number just came down to 42 days. The reason I took the time to take you through all of that math is to show you that if INEC decides to shorten the time needed to clean the register, they can do it. All it takes is more computing power. Already, INEC keeps getting record budgets for ICT. So why can't that be used to shorten the process? And then there's printing of PVCs. The sooner the register is cleaned, the sooner PVCs can be printed. But we should also ask the questions, why do we even need to print PVCs? After all, INEC will still use BVAS, BVAS, at the polling unit to validate you before you can vote. So are we duplicating systems and creating more bottlenecks than we need? Because again, remember Anna, my friend, Anna says you don't even need a card. Like, you can vote with your driver's license, or you can just go and give them like your number and you're able to vote. So again, I have to ask, should there be a voter registration deadline? And if there should be a voter registration deadline, does it really need to be so far away from election day? Election day is 240 days from Thursday, 240 days. And I told you, in some countries it's 30 days before elections. Some countries it's state by state deadline. So some states is 30 days, some states 15, some states same day registration to vote. 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Alex.
Alex, I haven't heard from you since I returned.
In a while, yes, yes, yes. Welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you.
And I missed the show this morning.
Oh, okay.
But I know I could get some clips of it. So, Sandra, you see, I always talk about technology and the use of technology for literally, you know, most of the basic parts of our life,
right?
I don't know if you've ever watched this Mr. Festus Okoye, the INEC gentleman who always comes out to, you know, explain their technology, what they are doing, like updates to the public. You see him on channels, he's on the radio, he's even on your station a number of times.
Yeah.
Been on your station a number of times.
Yeah.
You see, when I listen to him or when I watch him, you see he has so much energy and he's trying to explain so much and you almost want to feel that, yes, he's doing, I respect the job he's doing, I have to say. Okay?
Okay.
But almost every single line of what he's saying is just fraught with inefficiency. I'm not saying this to undermine his work, right, Sandra?
Yeah.
The point is that if you see the way he explains their use of technology,
mm-hmm.
there is so much backwardness in it. You have to wonder that, what are these people up to? Is it because you just want to be receiving that huge budget? I should be able to go to my bank and get my full registration for a voter's card. Do you know that? It's not so difficult. But the way we use technology here is like something else. We need to think seriously. And why should you not be, why should the system allow you to re-register when you're already in the system? I don't know if you understand me, Sandra.
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
There are so many inefficiencies everywhere. Why should you be allowed to re-register when the system has already recognized your name, your details and everything? There are so many inefficiencies with our system. Mm. And I think it's deliberate on the side of government for not wanting to use the appropriate technologies.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Alex. Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Alex says it's a feature, not a bug. 99.3. Hello.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
My name is David from Ibeshore Ade.
David, welcome.
Yeah. I think in addition to what the last speaker just said, the national identity arrangement will take care of all these things. The only thing is when you are changing your residential area captured in the national identity, then that's the only thing, and there will be few people that will be involved in such a thing. They will not know how to get a paper from the people conducting election, INEC, so that they will not say, okay, this is where I register my national identity, but I've moved to this place. And there will be a paper to back up your national identity card to the new place you want to go and vote, so that they can make enough provision of the machines, because they will have already made provisions for each area to accommodate the people living there. So I think this is just what it takes to do. They are just pretending as if they don't know what to do. Thank you very much.
All right, David, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, what's your name, sir?
My name is Emeka.
Welcome, Emeka.
Okay, first of all, I want to address something about this voter registration.
Okay.
I want to ask some questions. It's called continuous voter registration.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Right, you're right, yes.
So why are they talking about stopping it? It's not supposed to be continuous. Is there another definition for continuous that we're not aware of? One and two, I don't like people saying, where were all these people? Where were they when they were registering? This, that, that, that. Okay, we all don't have the same kind of jobs. And everywhere in the world, you love last minute. Even look at Ukraine, where there is a war. You know there is a war in your country. You don't want to run. They will say, okay, we're going to open a 30-day corridor for people to get away. Everybody wants to do things at their own time. And my own time is not your own time. So, me, I did my own last year. But I'm not going to force anybody for waiting for the 11th hour, whatever, to do it.
Right.
Because you don't know how what works for the other person.
Right.
Now I work for myself. I used to work in a bank.
Right.
And I knew that when I was working in a bank, I would have been able to do this thing. Would I tell my manager to give me leave to go and do voter registration? Am I a politician? So let people also try and understand other people, because all these countries, all of us. But I'm also very obedient, and I think everybody should go and register.
All right, goodbye. Thank you very much for calling us. Lagos, if you just tuned in, hello to you. My big question is, when should voter registration end? If it should end. The INEC chairman, Mahmoud Yakubu, said voter registration will be extended, but he hasn't told us when it will be extended to, what the new date is, etc., etc. And like I said, lots of people have debated, who's to blame here, INEC or, you know, the anyhow-ness of Nigerians. You know, some say, oh, it's INEC's fault, blah, blah, blah. But my own question is, should there be a voter registration deadline at all? If you say, there should be a voter registration deadline, should it have been so far away from the elections? Elections are 240 days away from this Thursday. Deadline is 240 days from the elections. Should it be so far away from the elections? I give you the example of the UK. I give you the example of the US. And you can argue Nigeria is peculiar. INEC needs more time between voter registration and election holding because they display voter register. They have to print the PVCs. But if you think about display of voter register, how much time do they really need for that? how much time do they really need for cleaning their register? If, for instance, they, you know, use a lot more of that ICT power that they budget so much money for. And the sooner they clean their register, the sooner PVCs can be printed. But why do we even need to print PVCs? Because INEC will still use BVAS at the polling unit to validate you before you can vote. So are we duplicating systems? Are we creating more bottlenecks than we need? 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Shadi. How are you doing?
Shadi, good to hear from you.
Likewise. Welcome back.
Thank you. Go ahead.
That's very good. So now, yeah, so you have some questions that, you know, Sandra, in an ideal society,
yeah,
that would be no. Yeah. Well, we're in Nigeria, and, you know, we like to do things the Nigerian way, which translates to the hard way. Voter registration should not be closed. It shouldn't. Even in Nigeria with our hard way, it shouldn't be closed this far out, let me put it that way.
Okay.
But, you know, the way we do things is like, you know, you want to get your name, they make it so hard, they make it so, everything is tough.
Hmm.
There's nothing simple. They make it look like, you know what, we, half of us don't know anything about computers or IT or anything like that.
Right.
That's how they make it seem like these things are so hard. You know, it's not just a checkbox, you know, or some coding, you know, coding language there. If they make it seem like you really need to go to Zamfara to come back, and that's how this thing is done. So because of where we are and the system we currently run, which hopefully will change one day, is why they need 200 and something days just to do something that they know 30 days can cure. Technically they don't need to. But we have to put the Nigerian factor in there and say, okay, let me give them 30 days. But they're not going to do that. Sadly, that's where we are. Yeah.
Shadi, thanks for calling. We've got a message here. Let the deadline be August or October so that INEC can tidy up before elections. A lot of us just have joined the registration frenzy. You didn't leave your name, but thank you for your message via WhatsApp. I've got a message here from John in Yaba who says, when INEC opened registration almost a year now, people did not bother to register. Even Nigeria Info always informed the listeners at the end of every news bulletin. Why are people now complaining and blaming INEC for the mad rush? I did my transfer early this year. It was a walk-in, walk-out. INEC should not extend the voters' registration. Nigeria is not the US or UK. We have our peculiarities. INEC has not gone contrary to Electoral Act 2022. People should bear the consequences of their lackadaisical actions. All right. John from Yaba or Tunji from Akoka. I don't know which one is your name because you use both on WhatsApp. Okay, I hear that. And I raise you the argument that, well, politicians were also lackadaisical, right? They couldn't conduct their primaries early enough. They kept asking for extensions, and they were given extensions. So if politicians can be given extensions because politicians, like the Nigerians they come from, waited until last minute for all their planning to be planned, should Nigerians who will vote those politicians not also be given some extra time, to get their registrations done? Shouldn't they? Why should the politicians get special treatment but not the actual voters who were voting the politicians who conducted those primaries? I've got a comment here from Engineer Sam. He says, honestly, Sandra, for me, INEC should contract banks to handle this voter registration and give them 60 days. Let INEC officials work behind the banks, get used to how to be efficient. Even the card printing is a waste and unnecessary for a lot of us. We've got a message here from Abdul in Ajah who says, the reality is we also abuse technology in this part of the world. With a user, I'm like, say we still day stone age. Abdul, thanks for your message. We've got another message here. Tosin says, I don't get us as a nation. Should we say people should stop giving because we want to conduct census? Or should stop giving birth because we want to conduct census? Should we say people should stop depositing money because banks want to conduct and publish their financial statement? Just as the NIN registration doesn't have a deadline, the PVC should not. All right. Let me come back to the phone lines. 99.3. Hello. 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 All right. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra Ezekwesili.
Good afternoon to you, sir. What's your name?
It's MI from Akoka.
Welcome, MI.
Sandra, you good everyone. Because when you started, I said, hi, Sandra, I think I'll call this segment the big advert. Should I call it critical thinking? And I thought, critical thinking. Because I condensed everything into two words, institutional incompetence.
Ooh.
I mean, 2022, and I need it. But I, when I listen to that, hey, thank God, I'm not a madman. Hey, thank God. I almost thought I was mad. Like, there's no data back argument. Just like Alex said, everywhere going on TV, making noise. No, give me data. It's only God I trust. Everybody's going to provide data. Do you understand? Stop giving me 5 minutes. Just short of President Sanjay Bao, that he's head of any commissioner. But because somebody has to justify his money, incompetency has to be recognized. So that, no Nigeria, they must see that they are suffering, not even that they are working. Okay, so go. I mean, I listen to arguments. I'm like, oh no, am I running mad? What is this? He stands up by their own boy on the electoral act. Section 9 says that you cannot stop it because it's called continuous. It can only be stopped statutorily 90 days to election. Everything is prerogative. You don't have the power. That's why I quickly shifted ground because they don't have, it's not statutory. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Everything else that we need is difficult. You literally have one job every 4 years. Okay, what is this now? When somebody talks, he says, I'm the. He are called independent. See, customer is always right. You are set up with taxpayers' money, and you're telling me story. Sanja, hey, this is your people. I don't know.
My people? I don't work for INEC. What do you mean, my people?
They are chewing. See that they are eating. They are chewing now. They are not eating.
Am I? Thanks for calling. Okay, well, let me quickly tell you that the PDP is asking former President Obasanjo to clarify his comments about choosing a running mate. The PDP is threatening to expose its former presidential nominee if he doesn't backtrack what they interpret as shade against its current nominee, Atiku Abubakar. Speaking at his presidential library, Obasanjo said, quote, "One of the mistakes I made was picking my number two when I wanted to become the president. But because it was a genuine mistake, God saved me," end quote. Now, of course, Atiku Abubakar, the PDP flag bearer, was Obasanjo's running mate both times that he ran for president, in 1999 and in 2003. So the PDP is taking this comment personal. The party's Board of Trustees chairman, Walid Jibrin, said, quote, "I wish to appeal to former President Obasanjo to come out openly to repeat what he has said. Whether or not he was misquoted or meant what was credited to him, although he has not debunked what was reported, one can assume what was quoted to have been said by him is incorrect. But if he fails to openly come out and say which is correct in 48 hours, you will hear the bombardment, and I will have no option but to break the egg and tell the whole world and Nigerians who Obasanjo is," end quote. Translation: if you want to talk to me direct. Don't go through the corners. I wonder what Jibrin meant by tell the whole world and Nigerians who Obasanjo is. Me said, I want to hear, you know, what he has to say. Also, how do you interpret Obasanjo's comments about a mistake in picking his number two? We know that he and Abubakar clashed during the second term. Abubakar, was forced out of the party because he accused Obasanjo of trying to get a third term, something that Obasanjo has always denied. Atiku was forced out of the party. He had to sue the PDP and Obasanjo to keep the vice presidency. So they had a very rocky end to their partnership. I wonder if you think that that's what Obasanjo is referring to. Anyways, chew on it. Think about it. Pray on it. When we come back from this break, I want to hear your thoughts. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. 99.3 Nigeria. Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Lagos, you're listening to the Big Hard Fact on Hard Facts. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and before the break, I told you the PDP is asking former President Obasanjo to clarify his comments about choosing a running mate. and I'm asking how you interpret Obasanjo's comments about a mistake in picking his number two. I told you that he and Abubakar clashed during their second term. Abubakar accused Obasanjo of trying to get a third term. Obasanjo has always denied that. Atiku was forced out of the party. He had to sue the PDP and Obasanjo to keep the vice presidency. So they had a very, very rocky end to their partnership. And I wonder if you think that's what Obasanjo is referring to when he says, quote, "One of the mistakes I made was picking my number two when I wanted to become the president. But because it was a genuine mistake, God saved me." Now, the PDP has said, "I wish to appeal to former President Obasanjo to come out openly to repeat what he has said, whether or not he was misquoted or meant what was credited to him. Although he has not debunked what was reported, one can assume what was quoted to have been said by him is incorrect. But if he fails to openly come out and say which is correct in 48 hours, you will hear the bombardment and I will have no option but to break the egg and tell the whole world and Nigerians who Obasanjo is." Me, I want to hear the story. So I'm actually low-key hoping that Obasanjo doesn't say anything so that we can know how far. You know what I'm saying? Also, do you think that this is Obasanjo warming up to endorse one of Atiku's opponents? Because back in 2019, he endorsed Atiku, but that was after a lot of consultation and begging and appeasement. Does this statement indicate that the ship has sailed this time? Because we know that Obasanjo was advocating for a southeastern president in 2023. Remember that? Let's talk. 0700-993-993-993-0-1465-7190. You're listening to 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We have WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Emmanuel. I'm calling from Ebay.
Welcome, Emmanuel. Go ahead.
I want to throw a jab, but maybe I should keep it.
Okay.
To you.
To me, okay. What did I do now?
What have I done? You said you are waiting somehow to hear who you want to hear. Let's go straight to the point. Obasanjo has been a very controversial man.
Okay.
You know, he has been known for that. And I think what really happened was the political history showed that the second term of Obasanjo,
right,
Obasanjo begged for it.
Right.
Because Atiku almost, in fact, it's not almost, he hijacked the structure of the party.
Right.
From Olusegun. And Obasanjo has not forgiven Atiku for that.
That. Right.
Because even that 2019 election, it took a lot before Obasanjo was able to come to the same table with Atiku.
Right.
So I think Obasanjo needs to calm down and sometimes let go of some things.
Right.
And move on in life. Right. That is why I see. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And speaking of begging, by the way, the PDP BOT chairman also said that the party will beg Nyesu Mwike, if that's what it takes. We previously talked about the Atiku campaign putting together a reconciliation team to appease the River State governor who lost the primary to Atiku and wasn't chosen as running mate. So Walid Jibrin now said, quote, "Governor Mwike is a great party man who fought for the party. When the committee is constituted, we will also bring other contestants together and go and appeal to Mwike, even if it means kneeling down to beg him." End quote. Wah-woo! Even if it means kneeling down to beg him. Wah-woo! So the first question is, if Mwike was so important to the party, why not give him the running mate ticket? Some Mwike supporters say that they are offended by the narrative that he's a strong person to have on a campaign but should not be allowed near power. They say it suggests that Mwike is someone that should be used but not rewarded. That's what Wike supporters say. But what I really want us to dig into is what Wike's electoral value is. Can we do that a bit? Because clearly the PDP sees his value, which is why they're talking about kneeling down and begging. But why? Is it just River State votes? Yes, Rivers has one of the biggest voting zones in the South, but you saw that with over a million votes. I don't hear about PDP or APC wanting to kneel down and beg those governors. So is it something more? Is this about money? Does all the talk about Wike's electoral value point to the allegation that state governors are expected to divert state funds into party campaigns? By the way, that would be illegal. But yeah, let's talk about all of that. Obasanjo begging Wike, voter registration, all of that. Let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. Still coming up, Tinubu's trip to France. So don't go away. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Adenne. Good evening.
Good evening, Ma. What's your name?
This is Uche from Satellite.
Welcome, Uche.
And then I love that Tammy Boti. I want to hear that, Mibo. I beg, leave these politicians, they know what they are doing.
Okay.
Whether past or present, they all know what they are doing.
Okay.
Let them break the egg. Let us hear. That is my own.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
I'm Hope.
Hi, Hope. Welcome.
Yeah, Sandra, I beg. I don't inside of that Tammy Bo.
No worries.
Let them break that egg, sharp, sharp, a day.
No, yeah.
Make Obasanjo not talk anything, no. I won't hear that cocoa.
Okay, we plenty.
For a week, na money now. There is money in river. Nothing else than money. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Hope. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, thank you. This is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, welcome.
Yeah, concerning Obasanjo, I think Obasanjo should have forgotten all those ones. I don't see that he gave you something.
Okay.
Actually, I mean, he has been the campaigning for Easter presidency. So, for me, I see that supporting Obi because I think he said about 2 days ago that youth of this country should get themselves prepared to take power. So that's how I see it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
It's okay. What's your name?
Good evening. Agas from Magodo.
Welcome. Go ahead.
One, TDP just want to use Wike.
Okay.
After you've denied him everything, now it's like, okay, if you have to kneel down for him, after did and done, now you want to go and kneel down for him so that he can remain in TDP, so that you can use him again. Later, you now say you want to kneel down for him again. Just leave Wike in. On Obasanjo matter, let PDP open everything. We want to hear. We want to hear. Tinubu, I think you mentioned Tinubu going to France or something.
Yes.
He actually went to France so that he can consult the cause there, so that they can choose him the running mate. Our politicians are not serious. Tinubu has been planning to be the president for the past 15 years, but he has not planned to choose running mate for the past 15 years. Now, see, Tinubu doesn't know what to use. You can imagine. But no problem. You are doing a great work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. All right, we'll take one more call and then let's talk about Tinubu going to France. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Okay, that's my cue to talk about Tinubu going to France. Okay, no, let me take one call then we'll talk about it. 99.3, hello. 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 Okay, well, let me go and talk about Tinubu going to France then. Well, before we get there, his spokesperson says that he's in France to have several important meetings, although his spokesman did not state who those meetings would be with. Now, the reason I'm talking about Bola Tinubu going to France is because there's been a lot of scrutiny about the travels of the presidential candidates. Peter Obi, the Labour Party flag bearer, recently travelled to Egypt. He said he went there to find out about the ongoing power projects there, which successfully raised their power generation. He even tweeted pictures of his tours of some of the facilities. He did all of that because initially there were lots of questions about why he was traveling, whether it was necessary, whether it was more important than the groundwork needed in Nigeria. But when Obi gave those details and tweeted those pictures, the questions subsided. Now, Tinubu has also traveled, and the same questions are being asked. As I said, Tinubu is yet to say exactly who those
important meetings will be with, or who these important meetings are with, or why they are in France specifically. But I don't expect that we'll get any real answers, to be honest, because Tinubu tends to not talk to the press. I haven't seen him do a one-on-one interview on any TV station or radio station. Even when he was governor, he did not hold like one-on-one interviews with TV stations or governors or things like that. You often find him, you know, step out of his house or his office, you know, with pressmen besieging him and trying to get his thoughts. But like, he hasn't sat down with any journalists to say, oh, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. He's not, he doesn't do that. Now, let's talk about Atiku Abubakar of the PDP, who has also been out of the country. And also, unlike Obi, he did not give a specific reason. And this has brought backlash from his own party members. The Punch is reporting that PDP leaders in Ekiti State are upset with Atiku and with the party chairman because they did not come to the state to campaign for their Guba candidate. The Punch says that the same criticisms are coming up in Oshun State, where there's another Guba election this month. Now, beyond presence or absence during campaigns, there are also those who say that we should monitor how and why the candidates are traveling now, because it will be an indication of how they will govern if elected. President Buhari, for instance, has come under a lot of fire for prolonged trips abroad, during which he did not always hand over power. He also had long trips abroad, prolonged trips abroad for medical reasons. And opinions on that are split. But you have a lot of Nigerians who say that they want to be sure that the next president will be in the country for most of his term, and that there will be transparency about why the president is traveling. So I think my question from this story is, which of the candidates do you believe are living up to that standard? Which ones do you think are not living up to that standard? Should Tinubu tell Nigerians who his important meetings in France are with? Should Atiku have been present in Ekiti for the Guba elections? Should we be scrutinizing the travel of the candidates? Or should we mind our business? 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. Don't forget, after the news at 6, you and I will talk about our relationship with our siblings, our family members, after we marry. Should it change? Should it stay the same? Does it change? Does it stay the same? What are some of the reasons that it changes? Who often gets the blame for the change? We got a very interesting call last week from Anne. I'll play that call for you before we wrap up this hour. But that conversation will come up after the news at 6, so don't miss it. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Sorry.
It's okay. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Adeshola Bangwe.
Welcome, Adeshola.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What I think or what I know is that sometimes you don't say what you don't know. You did not say that you haven't seen Tinubu do an interview on a television, on a radio station. You haven't watched him. If you don't know, you ask. That's what I think, because you are not sure of that.
I'm asking you, has he?
Yeah, try and confirm before you say that.
Has
I'm
he?
Very sure
asking,
he has done.
I'm asking
he has,
you.
He has done. He has done.
Where? With whom?
That's
when?
What I was saying.
With whom?
Yeah,
when?
People,
where?
People will answer you soon. I don't want to answer
I'm
you.
I'm asking you now. Now you talk. So you prove now.
Okay, let's have a patient. I don't want to answer you. Some other people will answer you.
Now, wow. So you call me and you say, oh, no, you're wrong. You're not sure. You should not have said it. But you're not going to tell me, I'm sure. He did an interview on this day, on that day, with this person and that person. Make it make sense. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
This is Mr. Gideon, calling from Satellite.
Welcome, Mr. Gideon.
You see, this what you are saying, Sandra, is true. These two people, even when Atiku was in government, I doubt if he has even gotten any interview with journalists. So the last caller was trying to support him. Maybe he's one of his supporters. But although they have been traveling, these two people have been traveling, and we have not known what they went for. Okay? But maybe it's well known to them. Maybe they want to keep it secret and want to surprise Nigerians. Personally, two of those two candidates, me, I don't like any of them.
Which two?
I don't like any of them becoming president. Me, personally. I don't like any of them becoming president. Well, I know the reason. So, I don't know, maybe they want to surprise us that one day, some people say, they might be good president, though. You know? So, let me keep it to themselves, and then let's wait. Then, in the case of this Obasanjo and Atiku, let them open up. Let's know. Because sometimes ago, I had some talk that Obasanjo said, over his dead body, will Atiku become president? All those things from 1999 to 2007, this talk has been going on. Let them open up. Let's hear. Let us hear what we have not had before. Let us hear.
All right. Thank you very much for calling 99.3.
Hello. Hello, Sandy, baby.
Thank you for calling.
Please,
what's your name?
Mind your business. And please put me inside Army Valley.
Yeah, okay.
My name is Ada.
Ada. Okay. All right, bye. Don't worry. Once I hear the gist, I'll come and tell you. Only you, Ada. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Abby Oyelowo on the line.
Welcome, Abby Oyelowo.
Yes, actually, on the issue of Obasanjo and PDP, I guess politicians are same of same. You see, only when they are in the position of authority, when they have exercised their power, then after then maybe whenever they are in power, that's when they tell us their mistakes. But whenever they are in power, they don't realize mistakes. They agree with themselves and disagree with themselves. That is their system. So I think I can't be bothered about that. But the only thing I'm after is they should break the yoke. Let's see if the egg will be the one to fry or to throw away. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. 99.3, hello. Hello? Hello? Thanks for calling. Hello? Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
All right, let me go. Oh, no, there was actually someone there. Okay, let me go to WhatsApp. We've got a message here. This question is so essential to the development of this country. I believe that if any presidential candidate cannot be transparent and accountable for their actions, then don't expect anything more when they enter power. It's a sign of warning for us as citizens, and I hope 2023 we do the right thing. Sandra, Obasanjo made a political statement. He need not explain himself. Everyone understands what he means, and he had earlier made his point for Eastern President. On Wike, it would have been better if Atiku simply picked him as the running mate without his handlers stating why he didn't pick Wike, which was published. It's offensive to rub it on his face. All right. Well, you know, you say he should explain himself, but his own party, his former party, PDP, gong, now the ones that are asking for explanation. It's not me that asks. Eh? Someone here says, Atiku has been interviewed, but mostly with BBC Hausa. All right. Obaino from Shomolu says, Obasanjo is one of the major contributors of the problems we are in today. After he condemned Jonathan in 2014, he should hide his face. Sandra, is it time for campaign? Won't granting interviews to media houses presently not constitute campaigning before the appointed time? Anyway, we know who you are indirectly and silently campaigning for. Kaide from Ikaja says that on WhatsApp. Okay, well, I guess, you know, now I'm campaigning for somebody. I've moved from being APC to being PDP to now I'm not campaigning for somebody. Well, one day you will be all right. You will rest. Do I have time to take another message? Okay, AAA from Ojos says, Wike. They want to use you to set their trap. After catching the crocodile, they will throw away the rotten rat. Do you want to be used like that? Okay. AAA with, what's it called there? With a proverb. Here is another message here. To win an election in Nigeria, one doesn't really need to be interviewed to win an election. Okay. But should we not be doing things differently? Should you not hear from someone who wants to lead you? Hear their thoughts, hear where they stand on different things, you know, where do they stand on taxes, where do they stand on the economy, on security, on young people, on jobs, on women's rights. The only way you hear that is if you sit down with them one-on-one through a journalist who's asking questions that you would like them to answer. Some of the candidates are already doing it. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about marriage and families. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.